right after joy, it's connected to peace. And when you got peace, you can suffer long. And when you've got love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, you can be gentle because you begin to realize that if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on your side, who had done for you what you could not do for yourself, who had been patient with you, then it gives you the patience to be gentle with other folk. And then goodness and faith, and then meekness and temperance. And the word says, against such there is no law. When you begin to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law that can condemn you. There is nothing your mate can say against this operation. Listen at this. It says, and they, verse 24, that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you recognize when you belong to the Lord and you're talking about a Christian marriage, you then, through Jesus Christ and the evidence of the Holy Ghost, have crucified the flesh. And with crucifying the flesh, you crucify the affections and the lust for any and everything that is not like God. So when the devil tries to put something in your face, you learn that the neck is able to turn the head. And if you're in a place where you can't turn your head, close your eyes. Because you've got to realize how the devil enters in and how he tries to tempt and tease you. And he knows where your weaknesses are based on your past record. When the Lord saves you and delivers you, you still are you. Yes. Just a better you. Yes. With a new nature. But every now and then, the enemy tries to show you a picture of your past. Yes. And when he does, it's up to you to declare, I'm a new creature. Yes. Old things are passed away. Yes. Behold, all things are become new. Your focus is new. Your passions are new. Your desires are new. And they're all godly. Amen. Let's go back, if you will, because when you look at this word again, but the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes what we don't recognize in relationships and especially in marriages, we are in high maintenance relationships. High maintenance. I don't care what you say. Marriage is high maintenance. You can tell a well-tuned marriage because the persons involved are careful to pay attention and to take care of one another. A high maintenance marriage, I mean, the term doesn't sound good, but the truth of the matter is when it becomes a low maintenance marriage, that's mostly when you have high problems. But when you take care of the marriage, then you have little problems. And then the little problems don't last too long because you learn not to let the sun go down on your wrath, and you start dealing with things openly and honestly, and you expose the enemy, because the longer you let the enemy reside in you, he resides in part of your relationship, part of your marriage. But when you expose the enemy and make it clear that you want things to get right, to stay right, to be right, then you deal with them in a right way. Amen. And that's God's way. That's it. In the love of God. I shared earlier, we come to marriages today with the option of, if it don't work out, I can get out of here. But with a covenant marriage where it's between God, you, and that other person, it is a I'm in it to win it mentality. It is a clear case of we are in the will of God. We are joined together by God, and we're not going to let man nor us separate this. It means we are in it till death do us part. And listen, I promise you, you'll look at the person you're trying to get with, talking about marriage, a whole lot differently if you knew that that was going to be your partner for the rest of life. Because see the things you don't like about him now? the things you don't like about her now. And then it becomes clear that you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. And what if you can't change that? The question is, can you live with that? You see, you got to come to the conclusion of whether you can live with those things or whether you cannot live without that person. And when you come to the reality that you can't live without that person, then you'll be able to live with those things. But you can't live with somebody that's not meant for you the way God wants you to, without having some situations, trials, and tribulations that you're going to have to deal with. But here is the thing that you must understand as well, that it is, when we come to this point in this place, the will of God that we would know His will.
That's it.
When we went to Ephesians and we talked about it in the 17th verse, you got to know the will of God. That's the first place. And the Spirit reveals that to you. Everything and everybody who lines up to your standards don't always line up to God's. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a decision on a person based on the external? And then when you got to know the internal, it made you realize that it was just a flesh thing. I mean, you can like what you see and don't like what you get. See, if anybody look like they sleep now, wake them up. Touch them. They don't want to hear the truth now. I know you're stuck, but we're going to make the best out of a bad situation for some of you. Some of you about to get stuck. I'm trying to keep you from getting that way. Listen, if you here and your mate ain't here, we got some issues. Unless they're working and couldn't be here. But if that's a constant thing, you need to look at what you're getting right now. Because marriage is not going to change it. And you ought not be getting somebody that you got to change anyhow. Not if God joined you together. But listen at this. If God joins two together, they are mutually going to be a blessing to each other. Maybe not in the same way, because what you've got to understand is when God fits something together, He usually puts something that something else needs with something that is needed. Which means when He blends it together, you might not bring the same thing to the table, but what you do bring to the table is needed. It's what's called compensating differences. And so when you do that and you recognize that, I've learned a long time ago to stop looking at folk and judging how in the world they got together. I'm just being real with you, because I look at some couples and I'm like, Jesus. And my mama told me a long time ago, there's somebody for everybody. I've also learned that those cute couples don't always have a cute marriage. You know, those folk that look like they got it all together and everything coordinated from head to toe. Now, I ain't talking about nobody now. I ain't talking about you up here. Because we do have some couples who be dressed head to toe, and they're looking good. And they got it good behind the scene. But there are some who are pretending and performing on Sunday mornings, hurting and broken, and yet they pretend like it's all well. But God can make all of that right if we would submit. According to, I want you, if you got some paper and pens, I want you to jot down some of these definitions for persons who have these kind of traits in high maintenance relationships. And you, if you don't write down this, there are 15 of them that I'm going to give you. Les Parrott discusses this, and if you don't, just listen and then write down the ones that apply to you. You know you're in a high maintenance relationship with a person who may be one a critic, and let me define what a critic is according to him. Constantly complains and gives unwanted advice. A critic. Then there is the martyr, forever the victim and racked with self-pity. That's the person who who's always the underdog, everybody always doing them wrong, always crying, always whining, always having a pity party. The wet blanket, that's pessimistic and automatically negative. I mean, I don't care what going on, it's like a wet blanket that just, I mean, puts out all your fire. You happy, that eagle, wet blanket. You like, hate to see them coming because they're pessimistic and negative every time. I don't care what good news you got to tell them, they're gonna listen and then they're gonna say, but. And bring in the negativity. The steamroller. Steamroller is the person who's blindly insensitive to others. I mean, it's their way, it's their will, it's what they think. They don't care what you think, you ain't got no opinion. This is what I want to do, this is where I want to eat, this is where I want to go, this is how I'm going to be. I don't care what you say. They just steamroll right over everything. The gossip spreads rumors and leaks secrets. You might be in a relationship with somebody like that. The control freak, unable to let go and let be. And most of us deal with, at some point in time, some of those in our lives. The backstabber, irrepressibly two-faced it. The cold shoulder, disengages and avoids contact. Cold shoulder. You know how y'all get. Brothers know something about the cold shoulder. But sisters also know something about the cold shoulder. Because men naturally who have issues with expressing and articulating their feelings, when they get in an argument and can't express it the way that they ought to, they then turn the cold shoulder, clam up, don't say nothing, and they just like little kids, they just pow. Want something? No. You gonna do that? No. Everything is, I mean, just shout out, boom. What's wrong with you? No.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
have called on the Lord like I did. Until they just stayed right there, I called him till you got hooked. Anybody been hooked on Jesus? Why don't you come on, put your hand together. Listen to me if you please. It ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to try sometime. No, 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 it ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to try sometime. You need to get hooked on a high that will never let you down. Can I say it again? It ain't no
try sometimes. You need to get hooked. Jump, then he went on down. Yeah.